Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Thank you. Well, very good, very good. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
How are you all doing?
Good.
How are you doing, as they say? Good. Good. I'm going to bring us around the Word of God together. And I'll just do a little bit of shameless advertising before I start. Is that okay? I thought there are going to be people here today who are coming to church who are thinking, if only there was a way for me to learn Hebrew. Am I right or am I right? I see that hand. Well, here we go. Well, would you believe it? In good Blue Peter fashion, here is something I prepared earlier. I know. I've only brought 10 with me, so don't rush all at once. But if anyone would like to take the chance to get themselves a little step-by-step introduction to biblical Hebrew, there you go. Sold to that lady. £40 to you because you're so keen. Anyone else, 20? No, sorry, 20. But if you'd like one, come and see me or Caroline's better with that sort of thing afterwards. And there's loads of online stuff I do at my website, biblicallanguages.co.uk, and this will give you access to that stuff as well. So if anyone's interested, is that okay? And we'll see what we can do. Very good, very good. Good. So I'm going to bring you around the Word of God. And just felt really, in a sense, keeping with the theme of this morning, I guess, in many ways. But I wanted to speak on moving into the new. Moving into the new, which is interesting because, in a sense, there's a very real sense in which here you feel as if you're moving into the new. And in some ways, I would say, especially with your change of, you know, building, wow, what a great building. What an amazing thing. And I can tell you, Andy, I know something of how much blood, sweat and tears and effort and concern. And Lord, I'm trusting you for the shortfall on this one. There is involved in this sort of thing. So big up to all those involved. I know there's a big financial step as well when you're doing this kind of thing. But there's a very real sense in which you've already moved into the new. So in a sense, I feel as if I'm preaching to the converted in the full sense of the word. But I just want to speak about how you navigate moving into the new. Is that okay? Good. So we're going to turn to the Word of God together, first of all. It's going to be on the screen, so you don't need to turn to your Bible unless you really want to. But Joshua chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. And anyone who knows their Bible well knows when you're reading to, when you're turning to almost any chapter in the book of Joshua, but certainly the earlier chapters, you know where this is headed. Because this is speaking about moving into the promised land. You kind of know where this is going. This is about upping sticks, upping your stakes, and moving into the new. And this very much is what I want to speak on this morning. So let me read you Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. I'll read it to you first of all, just sort of 6.5 verses. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards, it's about a kilometre, I guess, between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Then Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today..." And for these purposes, I'm just going to hold it there. Dot, dot, dot. Ellipsis, as they say in grammar world. But today, da, 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 today, here we go. So you all know the context. many of you will anyway. It is what we call in the trade the period of the conquest. In other words, God had promised his people a new country that would be their own, what we think now was the land of Israel, the land of Canaan back at the time. And he had promised them, and they'd had forays into the land in years gone by, but they'd never made it their home. And after so many hundreds of years, not far off 1,000 years, if you count back to Abraham, who's about 2,000 years before Christ, and then you go into the patriarchs and you go into Egypt, and they're in Egypt for 430 years and they're brought out, and Moses has led them through the desert, the wilderness, for the last 40 years, and now they're on the edge of the thing that God had promised right from the start. And they've got to navigate this. And so I want to ask us the question, how do we move into the new? So this is a kind of how-to question. This is taking us a step on from, you need to move into the new. This is, okay, I've got that, but what does that look like? As in, what do I need to do to navigate that process? Do I need to do nothing and let God do it all? No. And at that point, I could sit down, because that's fundamentally what I want to say. Or what is the part that I, and let me just say this, in life this is true. Let me tell you the deal between you and God. And trust me, God's got the lion's share of work to do. This is the deal. God will take care of the impossible bit. You take care of the possible bit. Have you got that? That... That is good, isn't it? It is good, I have to say. I just got a revelation of that some years ago, and it really helped me, because sometimes as Christians, we swing to one or the other. Either God's going to take care of it, and I have to do nothing, or I'm on my own in this world, I've got to do everything. And you can find as Christians, and even non-Christians, can kind of swing to one of two really things that are wrong. And we have to be careful that in our land of grace and in our land of dependency on the Holy Spirit, we're not guilty of swinging the wrong way that we can do. You know, God will take care of it. Careful, God will take care of the bit that's impossible. And can I just say, that's 99.9% of it. So, you know, that little possible bit is infinitesimally small when you compare it to the whole sum of reality that needs to get taken off. It's a bit like that word to Job, isn't it? God asked him out of the storm, brace yourself like a man. You can just see Job just brace. And it's interesting, God asks him 52 questions there. One for each week of the year, at least in our Western years anyway. And all of those in questions are impossible to answer. Yeah. And it just, hey, listen, dude, I'll take care of the impossible. You'll never get your head around that. And so I want us to what is the bit that we need to take responsibility for? Yeah. What's the bit that we need to do? And let me tell you another little thing, and this is where faith comes in. Sometimes we think, okay, God, you do your impossible bit, and then I'll step up and just, you know, finish it off. That's often not the way it works, because that doesn't demand faith. Sometimes, actually, we've got to instigate it with the possible bit. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to believe that even prayer... You've got to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, isn't it? So I want to say to you, sometimes you've got to step forward with the possible bit first. And that's what I want to speak about this morning for you who are already on a journey into the new. And let me just say, there is a new thing. I often preach a message. I might have preached it here before, I don't know. Isaiah 43, verse 1. See, I'm doing a new thing. And God is, and God always wants to do a new thing. And you need to have that in your heart all the time. It's important. I love that verse, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, hasn't entered anyone's heart what God has prepared for those that love him. That's a very powerful verse. In other words, God's plans for you are wilder and more extreme than anything you've experienced to date. It's really important for you to understand that. God has something better for you than you've ever had before. Let me just say this. One of the terms used for God is the God of all hope. That's hope. What is hope? Hope is, well, it's not certainty about the past. You've got that, whether you like it or not. That is certain. Hope is certainty about the future. That's what I love that. Romans chapter, is it 15, verse 13? Now may the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you overflow, literally bubble over with hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you've got to have a sense of hope, God's certainty about the future. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, 13, these three remain faith, hope, and love. And look at those things, they're all about the future. They are future facing. I'll give you a little challenge in life. If those are the three things that remain, let me ask you a question. What is the effect of your conversation in those three areas on the people around you? I've often found myself challenged. Glenn, forget what everyone else is doing. Forget it. It's not your business. Let's now talk about you. Glenn, your business at the end of every conversation. You've left someone with more faith. You've left someone with more hope. You've left someone with more love than they had before you started. Because those are the only things that will remain for eternity. So we need to have a great sense of hope about the future. And so this is the question that I want to come back to. So how do we do it? How do we shift from where we are to the preferred future that God has for us? And obviously, this is a good passage. I was going to base this on Jesus' baptism, when Jesus shifts from preparation for ministry into ministry. And I might bring a few thoughts of that as I go through. But this is one of those times shifting from preparation into the full reality. How do I do that? Let me just read you a few verses of this passage a bit more. And I'm just going to translate the Hebrew just a little. Have I mentioned the textbook that I've done that? I'll do that a few times. It's a cheap joke, but let me just one or two words. I'm just going to translate a little more literally, because I noticed someone else is preaching on this, a really good preach, and I just noticed there's a little tweak there. So I just want to do this, and I'm going to read verse 4, verse 5, and verse 7, and they'll appear on the screen again. Here we go, verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way yesterday or before. And it's explicit reference to yesterday or before. Hold that yesterday in your head. Then verse 5, then Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And obviously verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, today. And when you read it that way, there's a very clear progression of time. There is yesterday through to tomorrow via today. And there comes a today. And I'm not saying that every day is that today, but there comes a today when you have to shift from, this is the most recent day of my interminably long past, shift away from that pattern, and this is the first today of my future. Are you with me on that? That actually there comes a point, there comes a shifting when actually this today, and this is the reality, if there's not a today when something changes, nothing will ever change. You got it? Now, There are times for consistency in life. Truth is found in balance. And you've got to be careful. I've heard the phrase sometimes, and I'm not sure what I think about it, about, you know, it is the most crazy thing to keep doing the same stuff every day and expect a different result. And a bit of me thinks, you've just got to be careful with that. Because actually, sometimes the hard-working farmer is going out to his field every single day doing the same work, and he knows after a period of time, if he does not give up doing the same thing, he will reap a harvest. So you've got to be careful we don't turn ourselves into instant hits. Every single day has to be bringing home the results, or I'm doing something wrong. So you've got to get the balance right. Sometimes the most important thing to do is to turn up. Sometimes the most important thing is just to get on with what God's called you to do. And I love the word, a well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. That's the words we want to hear over ourselves. So I don't want to say today, every today has to be, I'm now changing. But there must be todays. If you're going to shift into a preferred future, there must be a today that's that today. When things begin to change. And that's what I want to speak into. Are you okay with me on this? Okay. It's amazing how often the word today appears in the Bible. Over 190 times. I counted them. I'm that sad. I literally went through a concordance and counted all the Greek and Hebrew times of today. And it's because it's that little segue point. You know, you don't control the future. You can't change the past. But today, now you can do something. You can determine how today turns out. You can determine. You might not be able to turn everything, but that's not your responsibility. The bits that you can determine, that is your responsibility. And they're the bits that you can. This is the day the Lord has made. Therefore, I will rejoice. See, now that's a choice. That's something on your part. That's something you're... And let me just say, whatever the world is going to, wherever it's going to, in a handcar, whatever people around, whatever your perception of people around you, that has nothing to do with how you choose to behave. You've got to be really careful you don't make your perception of how other people are doing things the thing that determines how you do things. You keep your fixed eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes fixed on him. That's the way it works. By the way, I love the fact that when the Bible, Hebrews 13 verse 8, wants to emphasize the changeless nature of Jesus, I love the words it used, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I guess when you're perfect, you can't improve on it. And it's interesting, there's something faithful and unchangeable about Jesus Christ throughout the whole of eternity. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Which is a preach and a teach all in itself, by the way. But that's, you know, if you want to emphasize the changeless nature of Jesus, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, I want to say, don't let that be said of you, because you haven't yet been made perfect. So there need to be todays when you do something to shift and changed from one degree of glory into the next. That kind of punctuated equilibrium where you're here for a bit and now I need to shift. And that's what I want to make out. So, are you still with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Point number one, and this probably is the biggest single point that in a sense I've already made. Number one, how to do this. Okay, there needs to be movement.
Yes.
Right.
What you cannot do is keep praying, Lord, do something different. Lord, do something new. Lord, there must be a day. By the way, do that. Don't get me wrong, but that's not going to cut it on its own. There must be a day of movement in your own experience. And I love that verse 3, move out from your positions. You know, somebody recently described, and it really stuck with me, someone that came to Mattersea near the end of last term, really stuck with me. They just said this, all leadership is really in some ways navigating change and disappointment for people. Because all leadership involves change. And to change, you've got to let go of what currently is. There's a sense in which I am going to sacrifice this in order to gain this. And if God's people are going to go into the promised land, it means that they've got to leave the land they've known for the last 40 years. It's literally impossible for that not to be the case. If they're going to move into the new, they've got to up stakes in a very literal sense for that kind of Bedouin, you know, tent dwelling group of people. They've got to up stakes. They've got to shift out. And let me just say for you that if you're going to move into the new, there must be movement. You have got to be part of that. There's a prophetic element to that. Okay, I'm going to start to live as if the new is inevitable. It's not a denial thing. It's not denying the facts, but it's not letting yourself be dictated by the facts or the circumstances. If you live by faith, you don't ignore the facts, but equally you don't live by the facts. We walk by faith. And so there has to be movement based on God's preferred future. Yeah. God wants to do this. Well, we need to enlarge ourselves. We need to shift. We need to move to the other side of the door. And I want to say there comes a point when that's for you. And so I want to ask you the question. As you've got a reality of what God has for your life, and some of those things you really don't need a prophetic word on. 99% of what we need to do is already clear from the word of God. Yeah. He's shown you, oh man, oh woman, what's good. Micah 6 verse 8, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. I can tell you that gives you a shed load of things you can be getting on with this week. Yeah. That speaks into every single area of your life. It speaks into your finances, speaks into your giving, speaks into your speaking, speaks into your thinking, speaks into your plans. So you don't always need the prophetic word. We've already got the prophetic. I was going to hold up my Hebrew textbook then. We've already got the prophetic word. But this is going to put me off. We've already got the prophetic word. So I want to, so don't undermine that moment when you do get that now word, when you do get that prophetic sense of, I want you here. But please don't think that life's static until then. So you have to ask yourself, God, what do you have for my life? And now I'm going to live in that reality. I'm going to live towards that reality. And of course, as we know, when they do cross the River Jordan, if you read Joshua chapter 3 and chapter 4, they actually have to, this time they have to step into the river before it starts to back up. Yeah. So there's a sense in which they've really got to do the possible bit before they see the impossible bit. Yeah. They've really, so I want to say to you, move. It's interesting, and I was going to mention this if I based this sermon on the ministry of Jesus, but there is a day, literally a day, when Jesus shifts from preparation for ministry into ministry. And I can tell you what day that is. It's the day Jesus is baptized. But I want to ask you, what were the steps that led up to Jesus being baptized just simply on that day? And let me tell you what they were. Jesus makes a decision that he's going to be baptized. Jesus goes to John the Baptist. That's how that day started. It didn't start with the trumpet blast. It didn't start with the anointing. That comes later. That comes a little bit later. It didn't, in fact, it happens a few seconds later, in actual fact. It didn't start with the angels coming down and saying, now that's it. There is a point when Jesus understands the circumstances and says, now I need to move into ministry. Yeah. And it's very interesting what you read in Luke chapter 4. Jesus stands in front of them all and says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Because Jesus does something. And I want to suggest to you, if Jesus had never got up and gone over to John the Baptist and said, I need to be baptized, the ministry would have never begun. So you've got to do some things. This whole thing about you doing the possible bit, why God does the impossible bit, it's not just God playing with a little child. Well, you put your effort, but really it's me doing all the work. No, your little bit of work really is important. Without your little bit of work, your possible bit, this won't happen. This won't happen. You have got to put God. God is a co-worker with us. He joins us. It's not just simply us, you know, God giving us a little something to do so we feel as if we're part of it. No. You are a real player in this kingdom of God venture. So I want to say to you, movement. So let me just do something for a moment. Let me do something that us teachers are not good at. Let me stop talking for a moment. Only for a moment. It'll get awkward. Let me ask you the question. Let me encourage you to ask yourself, what do I need to do today? What do I need to do today that's different? There will be lots of things you need to do today that are just the same. And I'll come back to that in a few moments. But what do I need to do today that's different? Or what am I going to need to do one day that's different in order for me to move into that preferred future that God has for me? And it's going to involve faith. It's going to involve bravery. It's going to involve doing stuff you've never done before. It's called breaking out your comfort zone. It's going to involve breaking the paradigms, breaking the habits. Not always bad habits, but careful. You stay in a habit for too long, it becomes a rut. You know, a groove. You keep staying in the groove for too long, the groove becomes a rut. And just watch that. So movement. So before I move on to my second point, I just want to challenge you on that one. What do you need to do? Secondly, verse 4, obedience. It's a simple little thing that I want to say to you. Verse 4, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. And this is very simply what I want to say. In the middle of change, in the middle of doing things new, don't kick over the traces. There are some things that are always important. And however radical you're being, please don't be radical to the point of compromising the rules of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Are you with me? So simple little things. Do the Ten Commandments apply to you? Of course they do. What do you think? And now we can have a little chat about Sabbath, Shabbat, and have a little chat about how we observe that one. But the principle is there.
Yeah, that's right.
And actually, I do want to say, if you want to stay mentally healthy, you probably should be observing one day off in seven. Actually, if you want to keep your sanity, which seems to be a bigger challenge in this 21st century world, I suggest you should make that apply to social media as well, actually. But whatever. There are some things you can't. And I love the fact in the middle of all of this, wow, we're going to do stuff we've never done before. We are going to take up our tents and not take them with us over the Jordan. We won't need tents over there. But there are some things that we're going to keep doing. We're going to keep doing those acts of obedience towards the Ark of the Covenant in their context. And I just want to say to you, in the middle of the new way, don't forget the old way. Don't forget the things. And God calls you still to obedience. Do you know, somebody once said to me, I think it was Dave Shearman, once said, whether he said it to me or I heard him saying it to some other people, that so one of the easiest places to backslide. It's an old-fashioned word that those of us here that are old-fashioned will know. But one of the easiest places to backslide, to slide back in terms of your walk with God, is on holiday. It's an interesting little one. Because, of course, you're kind of breaking with your routines. You're breaking, and in a good way, breaking with your routines. But if you're not careful, you can break with all your routines. You forget all your spiritual disciplines because you're not getting up at the same time, all that kind of stuff. And you just got to be careful. It's a lovely little verse. We often use it. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there's no divine revelation, the people cast off restraint. Yeah. And don't forget the divine revelation. So I want to say in all of this, don't lose obedience. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. You know, how can I put it? We're meant to be radical for the kingdom of God. Amen. We're not meant to be radical in order to get our likes on social media or anything like that. You aren't here to do shock for shock's sake. You're not here to be different just for the sake of being on trend. You are here to be a servant of the kingdom of God. Is that okay? In the middle of the whole thing, obedience. Let me just say this to us. We so often say, it doesn't matter what you do, God loves you the same. And by the way, that is absolutely true. Absolutely, I absolutely stand on that grace. But you've got to understand, grace is sin without condemnation. And it is. Romans 8 verse 1, that's why grace is an offense. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But equally, I want to say this. Sin, grace is not sin without consequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Sin will always have consequences. And by the way, we've all been on the receiving end of it. Yeah. And we've all been on the giving end of it. So then, you know, none of us here get too self-righteous about it. We've all been on both ends of that. And I want to say to you, absolutely, grace is sin without condemnation, but it's not sin without consequence. You've got to be careful. And doing the right thing will reap a good harvest.
Amen.
And doing the wrong thing won't. Is that okay? Yeah. So keep doing the right. In the middle of all of this radical, never been here before, don't forget.
Amen.
Obedience, obedience, obedience. Third point, last one, consecration. Verse 5, consecrate yourself. The word in the Hebrew, have I mentioned? No. The word in the Hebrew, kadosh. It's a great little word, kadosh. You just want to say it. And when Orthodox Jews in the synagogue, for instance, when they read out Isaiah chapter 6, holy, 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 everyone in the synagogue will say, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And they won't just say it, they'll stamp their feet. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And everyone, it's a great little holy. What does it mean? What does it mean? That's a good question, isn't it? I tell you what holiness fundamentally is. And this is what consecration is. It is separating yourself. Now, hear me now. Not just from all that's wrong, which, by the way, is part of it. Not just from all that's wrong. But it's separating yourself to the purposes of God. Consecration is having your life dedicated to the call of God. Doesn't mean to say that you don't do anything normal anymore, like pay your bills, but it means the paying of your bills takes on a new perspective. This is all part of how I'm going to end up in a place where I'm serving God. It doesn't mean to say that all I do is spend my time praying. No. Spend some of your time praying. Other times, looking after the kids, reading them stories, going to bed at the right time, getting up at the right time, coming to church, being with God's people, lifting up your hands because you choose to do so, not just because you feel like doing so. Praise God for the feel-good days, but that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. So I want to say, finally and thirdly, this is now a mindset thing, consecrate yourselves. Get to a stage where you say, God's call on my life, God's preferred future for me is not just a little value added to my life. It's not just the icing on the cake that is life. This is the cake. This is the cake. And you've got to get to a stage where you realize, actually, God's call on my life and God's purposes for my life actually is what my life is all about. And that's when you get to a stage of consecrating yourself. It's not always walking around with your arms clasped in a prayer-like stance. That can look a little bit weird. I often do it, and people say, Glenn, what are you doing? Now, consecration is an attitude and actions that express your absolute conviction that you are here to do God's will. And everything comes under that ultimate ambit. Jesus gets the point, you know, at the age of 12, end of his bar mitzvah, I must be about my father's business. And he's got the reality. He's going to spend the next 18 years in preparation for it, my word. But he's got the reality. Actually, I've had my coming of age. I enter into the family trade. And God is my heavenly father. I'm entering into his business, his things. And I want to say to you, that's a bit of a revelation that we all need. You okay with that today? Just say them again, movement. There must be a today where you begin to enact, act in line with God's preferred future. Can I say, you've done that as a church together. You've done that just moving into this building is a massive declaration about the future. And by the way, you're now in the land of the giants. It doesn't necessarily get easier. It just gets more fruitful. It's just where you're meant to be. It's not that, oh, and now we can rest. The promised land is not heaven. There are no giants in heaven. The promised land is the land of promise. That's what the promised land is. It's where God called you to be and live for that. So movement, shift towards that. Obedience, don't forget that. And just be at a stage where you're prepared to say, God, I give myself to you. Let me just finish just by saying this. Listen, it's not as if you can divide Christians into those with the call of God on their lives and those not with the call of God on their lives. All Christians have the call of God on their life. We all do. The only difference is how much we're aware of it and how much we submit to it. Get yourself to the stage where you consecrate yourself. So let me tell you one of the most dangerous prayers and the most wonderful prayers. Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, you can do it. If you knew everything that involved, we probably might not pray it so quickly, but I'm glad we pray it. Lord, have your way in our lives. Is that okay? Why don't we stand? Stand together. I'm going to hand back to Andy just in a few seconds. But let me just pray for us, and then straight after that, I'm going to hand back to Andy. Lord, I pray for your people here this morning. I pray, Lord God, that we haven't just heard me, but we've heard the word of God. Because I know the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper, it's more dangerous, more cutting than any other weapon that we can know. And your word can pierce through to our hearts, cut right through to the bit that we thought no one could get to. But your word can get right to our core. And I pray, Lord God, that your word would have got to our core this morning. And that we would make the right response to the challenges that your word brings to every single one of us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.